Hello and welcome to Rewatchable, episode number 322. Today we're discussing Veronica Mars, season 4, episode 3, Keep Calm and Party On. My name is Danielle and I will be your host not only for this episode, but this whole round on Veronica Mars, which if you've listened previously, I am super excited about. But before we get into everything that I'm excited about, the number one thing I am excited about today is that I am joined by three of some of my really, really good friends, and they are Karen, Kristen, and Mai. Hello, ladies.
Hello.
Hi.
If you would like to get in contact with us, and we really hope that you do, you can do so through quite a few avenues. You can email us at rewatchable.podcast@gmail.com. You can tweet at us. We're at re_watchable. You can Tumblr us at rewatchablepodcast.tumblr.com. And you can come join our Facebook group. We're talking all things Veronica Mars, all things Agent Carter. Basically, every show that we've ever done, we're talking about it there, sending memes, all that. So please come join our group. It's called Rewatchables Rewinders. Just search for that on Facebook. The current cover photo is Veronica Mars. You shouldn't have an issue finding it. If you do, just tweet at us. Again, that was re_watchable. And our pal Brittany will be more than happy to shoot you the link. So you've heard my voice quite a bit so far, but I want to introduce you to the other voices on today's episode, just so you can get to know them. So when we dig into our discussion, you'll have no trouble following. So we'd like to do that with fun facts at the top of every episode. Mai, would you like to give us your fun fact for the week?
Sure. My fun fact is that, well, not including the E and the throwing up, I had a very similar evening to Veronica last night. So, yeah.
You were a party animal?
A little bit. I'm pretty sure I consumed enough shots for at least two people. So, yeah. Don't mind the scratchy voice.
We never do. Lovely. Glad you could relate to Veronica today. Hopefully it doesn't hurt too much.
Nah. I got junk food and 13 reasons why.
That's all you need.
Yeah.
Kristen, what is your fun fact for the week?
I watched the other night, I watched the first two episodes of Why Women Kill on CBS All Access. That show is kind of insane, and I think I like it, question mark. It's, I don't know if I quite grasped, like, what the concept is for what they were doing, like, when I saw trailers or whatever, but after the first two episodes, I definitely get it. It's three different couples in three different decades, all who lived in the same house. And you already know at the beginning of the show that three of them end up murdered. And since it's Why Women Kill, I'm assuming these are all the husbands, although they haven't really said that. Really interesting. And I kind of like it. And Jenny Goodwin is playing like the, I think it's like 1960s housewife. So you know, her role is to be at home and all of that, and her husband's cheating on her, so she's trying to figure out, like, what she should be doing with her life since, you know, obviously being with her husband isn't enough, and so, like, it's really cute. I really like it so far. I don't think cute is necessarily the
word. I was going to say, it's an interesting word. Is Jenny Goodwin, is that Snow White?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes, and okay. Lucy Liu is like a 1980s wife, kind of like it's insane. Like the big hair, the big shoulder pads, the crazy, it's insane. Derek from Smash, who is also Commodore Norrington, I believe, in Pirates. He's her husband. And I was like, wait, what? Mm-hmm. Yeah. But it's an interesting little show. Definitely worth checking out. I haven't watched the end yet. I've only seen two episodes. So I don't know if it'll be great or what, but it's fun. So
that sounds fun. I like that. Okay. I'll have to add it to my list. Karen, what is your fun fact for this week?
My fun fact is that yesterday I dyed my hair again. So back to pink. It is much pinker than it was the first time. Because the first time I was in Rhode Island when I did it, and she mixed it with red and it was pretty much the perfect color. This is very bright pink, but I am getting used to it, and I really don't want to wash it because that means that it'll fade, but gotta do that at some point.
Did you say that you did it, or did you go to a salon or somewhere to get it?
I went to go get it done because I don't trust myself to do it myself.
Fair. I understand that.
But it is very bright pink.
I saw the picture. It looks cute.
Thanks.
Looks good.
Thank you.
Mai is a fan.
Yeah.
Into it. I was trying to think of a fun fact for the week. I've had not as notable weeks, I guess. But I guess my fun fact for the week was after we recorded last weekend on Sunday, I went out on a date, and part of the date was going to this place called Catcade. And it's basically an arcade, a little arcade room that's overrun with cats and kittens, lots of kittens, just everywhere. And you just hang out with them and play.
Dream life.
It was amazing. It's here in Chicago. It's just off of Belmont, like in Lakeview, the Lakeview neighborhood. And I was playing with kittens while also, because they have a big TV screen in there, and I think they usually play movies. I don't know if it's the same one every time, but when I was there, it was Scott Pilgrim. And so I was playing with kittens while watching my husband on the TV screen, and it was kind of perfect. And I was
there. I recently rewatched that movie, and it does not hold up for me, but that is neither here nor there.
Really?
I've never seen it.
Yeah,
I haven't seen it since close to when it first came out, but I've been meaning to watch it again in my Chris Evans watchingness. I'm trying to make it through all, if not just like most of his movies.
Not another teen movie.
Oh, that one I play on repeat. Let's
call me when you watch The Losers. It's the best movie he's ever done.
You know, I've already done that one, and I'm good.
What?
That was fine.
Whoa.
Yeah.
Can I just go watch the banana scene over and over again instead?
I can just send you the GIF.
Oh, I bring up... Okay, this is a fun fact that I don't know if I've shared before. I bring up the Not Another Teen Movie banana scene in some of the most inappropriate conversations ever. And usually to coworkers, which makes it worse.
Ooh.
But I think I talk about that scene at least once a month and have done so for the past 5 years. It's kind of impressive, but also kind of sad. But the banana scene, though, and if you don't know what I'm talking about,
Google it.
Or like, go on YouTube and search for...
Not at work. Don't Google it at work.
Don't Google it at work. No, don't watch it at work. I mean, it's not terrible, but like it's not... completely work friendly, but basically Not Another Teen Movie like banana or something, and you enjoy. I love it so much. But we are not here today to talk about Chris Evans or kittens or anything like that. We are here to talk about Veronica Mars season 4, episode 3, Keep Calm and Party On. But before we do that, let's do a quick recap on what happened in this episode. So in this episode, Veronica, Logan, Dick, and Nicole having a fun on E to make up for Malouf's pretty lame double kidnapping. The Sea Sprite bomber gets caught, dies, and somehow strikes again because Veronica is always right. So there's quite a bit to discuss in this episode. The first thing that I want to talk about happens at the very top of the episode, and it was also in basically the trailer for this season, and it's Veronica getting mugged and then mugging her mugger, after which she says, "For the gram," and all of that. So this is interesting to me because she's always been tough, but I don't know if I ever would have imagined watching her mug a mugger or just being so chill about all of it. How did this scene play for you guys?
Felt like Veronica. I think it is pretty interesting that she stayed so cool under pressure because he clearly had a knife, and like that is a little scary. But I also think she could read the room, and knowing that he was a teenager, he was probably inexperienced. He was probably using the element of surprise and getting the money and stuff quick in order to do what he was doing. And she knew that she had the tools, you know, her taser to neutralize him. So it didn't seem as big of a deal.
I like that you used the word neutralize.
Well,
just taking him down. Yeah, it's interesting. Like, she was able to basically pin who he was right away just by his voice and his gloves. And so she kind of knows what he's all about.
She definitely had enough interactions with the PCHers in her day to, like, kind of, like, all right, I know who this is. I may not know you, but I know who you are.
Yeah, it feels very season one, but, like, older and, like, this shit again vibe.
Yeah. But in some ways, there are some very big differences. Like, this PCHer, I don't think we've ever seen the PCHers, like, mugging people on foot, for one. Two, when she said what she was going through, like, all of the stuff that she had pilfered from him, there were a handful of wallets, but then in his personal wallet, there was 6 crisp $100 bills. So there's definitely something going on here. Did you make anything of it in the beginning or even at the end when Veronica's telling her dad and Logan about the mugging?
Well, I certainly didn't, because I watched this episode out of order.
Yeah, you did.
Somehow, I completely missed the first 10 to 15 minutes of the episode and just filled in the blanks, apparently, in my head, and then had to go back and rewatch the beginning. So I'm here to say I cannot weigh in on this question.
Literally a half hour before we were recording this, she messages me and goes, "Does the doc seem weird to you?" I was like, "Why? What do you mean?" She goes, "There are some things in here that, like, I don't know if, like, they're leaps or, like, what's going on in here?" And so I looked and I was like, "No, everything's fine." And then we were talking about, like, this tasing or whatever. She's like, "Did that happen? I don't remember this." Or Karen. But yeah, so the fact that he had, like, the PCHers aren't really known for being wealthy. In fact, they're known kind of for the opposite. So, I mean, I know we'll get to big theories kind of at the end, but does anyone have any ideas on why or, like, where this guy would have gotten, this young kid, not even a guy, would have gotten $600 fresh out of the bank?
Like, I don't have any theories, but it feels really fishy. So, like, yeah, I think there's something else going on, but I couldn't really tell you what, because I don't think it's Big Dick.
Okay.
Yeah, it's definitely a bit of a wild card. You kind of assume that it possibly has something to do with what she's investigating or whatever. I mean, it would be completely ridiculous if it was completely unrelated. Like, that would be strange. So if you kind of think about, like, the bombing victims and the families, like, obviously the Maloofs would be someone to keep in mind, like, why they would definitely have the money to be, like, paying someone for something if they needed to. So that's definitely on my radar, as well as Big Dick, because yeah, he's definitely got the money too. So there's definitely some people that I'm like, I wonder if they're involved. Interesting.
I mean, maybe Clyde using Big Dick's money? I don't know.
I just thought I would put it out there because it's weird. And then the other detail about this that I forgot to mention was that Logan saw a photo of this kid kind of in a wanted sign in the police station for getting scatological in the Sea Sprite ice bucket.
So disgusting.
Yeah, it's pretty gross. Not a fan of that. But let's take a break from that whole thing and kind of move on to talking about the Maloofs and talking about the main mystery, because there's quite a bit still kind of going on with that. We get Pizza Guy still constantly going on the news. He ditches his adoring kind of racist fans to go give more reviews with the news. And basically his theory is that the Maloofs were, like, trying to pay off the fiance to leave, and she didn't, and so they killed her. Which, I don't know, how does everyone feel about this theory? Does it seem, even though it's coming from someone who is very much, a conspiracy theorist, I think we can safely say. Does it seem like it holds any sort of credibility with what we've seen so far with the Maloofs?
I mean, we know that they were not a fan of hers, that her family didn't seem to be a huge fan of her marrying into the Maloof family, and the Maloofs didn't exactly love her. So it doesn't seem like it would be completely impossible that they tried to pay her off to leave and to not come back. I mean, that happens. But I feel like if they had been unsuccessful, I think killing her is a little farther than they would go. Like, it's just not, I don't get like, okay, fine, we'll just kill you vibes from the Maloof family that we've met. I don't know for sure, obviously. This is Veronica Mars and people are crazy and you never know. But that's not the vibe I got from that family. So I don't know, you know, as opposed to her family, who I 100% believe would kill her if, or anyone who like got in their way. Like, I absolutely get those vibes from them. So I'm not really sure, but I don't necessarily believe it. And I didn't when he first started talking about it on camera. Like, it just, something about it never sat right to me. I was like, I don't think that's a viable option here.
I definitely think that the mom would have like sent a hitman or something, but the bombings, that's a dumb thing. That would be stupid to do, because it's a lot of collateral to just get one girl.
Plus, it seems incredibly like opportunistic for them to have like killed her in the lobby of the hotel. Like, you know what I mean? I know, I'm trying to remember what they said about how they planted the bomb to kill her. Like, I don't remember where the bomb was planted. But even so, it seems, you know, strange that they would want to take her out there where there's a lot of people, or, you know, it's a possibility that there could be a lot of like collateral damage and that, like, it, I don't know, just doesn't seem right. Doesn't seem like them to me.
Does it throw, so sort of to back up slightly or change gears a little bit, we were also introduced to the fact that Daniel Maloof, the congressman, is being blackmailed and so is kind of very malleable and not completely, he doesn't stick to his principles when under some sort of stress like this. He's currently being blackmailed with a video of him masturbating to a cam girl, and so much so where he was planning to leave politics, but the blackmailer kind of won't let them. And so his reasoning for hiring Mars Investigations is because he wanted to know or be the first to know if the bombing was about him and about the cam girl stuff. But do we think that he might be malleable enough to do a bombing himself? I think that throws that into sharp relief too, or raises that question.
He's definitely a pushover, but I don't think that he has that much malice in him. And like, he wanted to get out of politics because of everything that was going on. So for him to risk what happened to his family doesn't really seem like something he would do.
Fair. Yeah, I don't think he seems like that either. He is a very weird and nervous character. Like, you can tell that he cares about his family and that he's torn about a lot of things, but there is very much this weird, unknown side to him.
I mean,
and you never know what a desperate person would do.
Yeah, well, and like, he's being blackmailed and he's gone along with it so far, trying to figure out how to get out of it. But now that he can't, his new method is to leave. He wants to quit. I know other people who would not use that as their like last ditch effort. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Like, he's not trying to hurt other people. He's not trying to, you know, make someone else take the rap for his video. He's not, you know what I mean? Like, he's, his last ditch effort for all of this to get put behind him is to leave politics and to figure out a new way to provide for his family. So like, that doesn't scream like terrible guy and would kill to keep him, you know, to keep his secrets. So that's another reason why I have a hard time believing he would be the one behind all of this.
I mean, aside from wondering if he's the murderer or not. Is he a likable character? To me, he's constantly nervous. Like, he doesn't even know how to handle his own bodyguard, which is a really interesting thing. Like, we see him not knowing, like, where Logan should be or what Logan should be doing or how to even act with a bodyguard. And you can see the reaction on his face, like, when Pizza Guy spills on the news that the fiance was almost paid off and, like, the little brother didn't know. Like, he was very much pained. But then also later, once his life is saved, he asks for the fiance's brothers to be murdered by the Mexican cartel. Like, he's a very all-over-the-place character, but is he likable?
Yeah, that thing with the brothers was weird. I was not expecting him to be like, hey, can you kill them? That seemed, I don't know. I know we don't know him that well, but that seemed kind of out of character to me.
And he seemed not cold when he asked that too. Did it feel like he did like a switch for you too? Like flipped a switch?
I don't know that it felt cold in so much as he definitely felt like he had no other choice, that this was the only thing that was going to keep him and his family safe, which I guess, like, in the long list of, you know, reasons to murder somebody is not the worst thing, but also I just kept thinking, you're so stupid. If that ever comes out, like, you can't be a congressman anymore. Politically, he seems very green and optimistic. And I think that given his status and his acclaim, he's used to getting his way and he's used to sort of being put up on a pedestal. And now that he's coming up against serious consequences and serious problems, he doesn't know how to handle it. This is like on the job training for him and he's failing.
Yeah, I'd like to think that him paying off the Mexican cartel guys to take out the brothers was more of like he just had been strung up by them and they were kind of torturing him, and I don't know if they were intending to kill him. I think they were, but like, I feel like it was kind of an in the moment like decision, and his adrenaline was pumping because the cartel guys had just told him that they were going to kill him. And, you know, there's all this stuff going on. I feel like it was like an impulse decision that I feel like he will regret making later, not just because somebody will come for him with that information, but I think he personally will feel terrible about making that choice later on too.
Mm-hmm.
Because I feel like it was an in the moment, fine, they've got to have, you know, they've got to take somebody out. Why does it need to be me? I'm not the guilty one here. I'm not the bad guy. And then he remembers these two who've been, you know, just finished beating him. And he's like, you know, they're the ones that'll take my place. So I think it was more of a move of desperation than it was like a well thought out decision. And yeah, I agree that he's just kind of, he's all over the place, and I don't think he screams like bad guy though. I just think he's trying to piece together a solution for this and on the fly, and is doing kind of a terrible job of it.
Yeah, he doesn't make the best decisions, I think, is something we could easily say. Is he someone that we're interested in, kind of on the flip side? Not as even if he's likable or anything like that, but like, is he someone that we're interested in following further? Is this an interesting new character that has been introduced in the Veronica Mars universe, or we're still just kind of figuring out where he fits?
I mean, having a senator in her pocket would be useful.
Fair, yeah.
I mean, I'm just saying, if she's able to kind of clear his name and clear the family's name and figure it all out and all of that, I think this could be an interesting character to have around, because I would definitely be interested to see how he grows as his time in government grows, and like, if he, you know, if he's able to stay a senator, what he learns from this, and if he learns from this, and is he could he possibly be someone that Veronica can use as a source or whatever later on? Or is he always going to be that guy that she's digging out of messes because he can't seem to get his act together? Like, he could go either way.
But you're interested in seeing which way he might go.
Yeah, I say so. He's interesting.
All right. And I guess since we're already talking about him, let's talk about that abduction a little bit more. So the two cartel guys think that he was involved with the bombing, partially because Pizza Guy kind of led them to that belief. So the cartel guys go and rescue him from the two thug brothers, which are two of the most like frustrating characters I think that have ever been introduced on Veronica Mars, just because like I don't get it. I don't understand, aside from the fact that like we're supposed to think they're white trash, which feels really too simple, I guess. I don't know. So the cartel brothers decide to then turn around and torture him the same way. Do we think he was more scared of the brothers, or do we think he was more scared of the cartel people? Or just scared shitless either way? Like, literally shitless, because I think he actually went to the bathroom.
I think he was scared either way. I think he was terrified of the brothers and then relieved when the cartel guys came and got him, but then quickly realized that that wasn't really his way out. But then again, I also think he felt like he could negotiate with the cartel versus negotiating with the brothers, who really didn't care about anything but getting that ring for what it was worth. And I think the reason why those two characters don't sit well is they're such a caricature of white trash. But then again, like, there are a lot of, or at least some other stereotypes on Veronica Mars that we've seen over the years. And I guess it's good that it's being spread around a little bit.
Equal opportunity stereotype. Yeah,
exactly. Not the best solution, but there you go. But yeah, they frustrated me too. And it was just, they seemed really dumb. And the whole family, like, was just really obviously a caricature of that, and that kind of bothered me. But,
and at some point they even say, like, we didn't even like our sister all that much, she was a bitch, don't they?
Yeah, like, yeah. How are you gonna say that about your sister? Like, oh, glad somebody killed her. Like, really? Even if you hate your family, like, you don't want them dead.
It just, like, even if you're just in it for the ring, you don't, what?
Yeah,
just don't say it.
Yeah, right. Only think it. But yeah, it just seemed, it also seemed very convenient. You know what I mean? Like, them hating her and them wanting the ring, and like, there's no nuance there or like relationship stuff where they were at least a little sad about it. And it just seemed very black and white in a way that wasn't realistic.
Yeah. Definitely not a high point of the episode, I would say. But do you know what was a high point of the episode, to kind of switch gears and have more fun, is King Dick and the party? Because, one, Dick. Two, Dick in, like, Rocky Horror gold tight pants. Three, the squad parties together. Oh, can man. I tell you, when I first saw this episode, I was smiling so hard throughout this whole thing. Did anyone else enjoy this even like half as much as I did?
Yes. I thought it was quite delightful. Dick is always ridiculous, but I like him for it, as long as he stays harmless. And I liked seeing Veronica loosen up a little bit, because I really wasn't thinking that she was gonna like party with them, but the circle that they've kind of created here seems still has a lot of the, I don't want to say tension, but a lot of the like weird vibes from before. But they've all grown, obviously, and like nobody's going anywhere, so they kind of just make the best of it. And I think that's kind of fun in its own right.
I want to quickly follow on you saying like the weird tensions from before. I was speaking to someone that I think I had gone to like elementary school with or something, And one of her big complaints about this season was the fact that Veronica took E in this episode. She thought it was weird given Veronica's past with, like, drugs, and how, like, she was basically raped after she was slipped a roofie that originated with Dick or something like that. Did anyone, because I didn't think about it at that point, and I'm not sure I feel the same way, but does that factor in and color anyone's, I guess, thoughts about how she reacted and was, like, into doing E here?
Yeah, a little bit.
Okay.
Yeah. It didn't really sit right with me, just in general.
Okay.
Yeah. Also, the idea of doing drugs with Dick in general.
Because, yeah, she was super excited, and they were just, it wasn't a thing. It was like, yes, this is something that's normal.
But I gotta say, it's also weird for Logan to do it, since he's all, like, grown up and stuff now.
Yeah, and because he's in the military.
Yeah.
And for the club owner to offer that, for them to take it, I just had this feeling like this is going to come back on them later kind of thing, where, like, this is a bad idea.
Like, and she's secretly undercover or something.
Yeah, just something weird where it's like, you're going to regret doing this and it's going to be tied up with the case somehow or something. Like, somebody will use that as leverage against Veronica later. I'm just saying that because I'm terrified Nicole is secretly a bad guy. But yeah, I don't know. I didn't like it. And it's not even the fact that she was doing drugs necessarily. I just thought it was stupid. Like, a stupid decision for her to do it right then.
I think it's interesting that you're paranoid that Nicole is evil. It's like beaver syndrome.
Like, I've been hurt too many times. Let my guard down. Like, I don't used to care about anybody on this show anymore.
I totally understand it, but it just kind of makes me giggle because I'm sitting here thinking, I know why Karen's a little nervous about Nicole being a baddie in disguise, because this has happened before. Yeah.
Oh, no. It's not unfounded for you, and I am sorry that you are still to this day as traumatized as you are. But, I mean, aside from the drugs, it looked like a really fun party, and it's something that I enjoyed watching very much because, as everyone knows, Dick is one of my favorite characters. And just to see him, I don't know, having that kind of fun, because it feels different from the kinds of fun that he's had previously. Like, that one seemed like a laugh out loud. He's in on the joke and he's just, like, hamming it up kind of fun, which is different from just, like, the let's take shots, everybody kind of Dick. Like, that Dick is still in there, but this one seems more fun to me, which I enjoy. But let's move on a little bit and talk about Maddie. She wasn't in a lot of this episode, but she was in enough to kind of help put some pieces together. So Maddie discusses with the pizza guy. She discusses Keith and Veronica with him. And to me, it was a little strange to get the explanation on who Veronica is and who, like, what their past was, because it was only necessary for Maddie, but it also, to me, felt like one of those things where the viewer is getting necessary information from the show at the same time as, like, the show's main character, but we're not new viewers and Maddie is not a main character. Did that strike anyone else in that way? Or does it seem like that was more of a commentary on where they want to take Maddie?
Yeah, I kind of saw it as it wasn't, like, the information that the pizza guy gave Maddie wasn't information for us. The information for us was the fact that Maddie didn't know about it and her reaction to it. And I feel like it's more of a commentary on how long it's been since that happened. Like, 15 years, they said, has gone by. And the fact that Veronica is still angry, the fact that people are still talking about it, One kind of brings us back to Veronica Mars season one and ties us into the events that happened there, because obviously we can't forget about it. That was the whole foundation of basically who Veronica has become, was because of what happened. And to revisit it, I think, is really cool for fans, and not as like a reminder, as in we need a refresher, but just a reminder that like the show hasn't forgotten about it, and neither should we, because it's still affects Veronica to this day. But I definitely think it was more like, hey, it's been 15 years. Some people don't know this stuff. Some people still do. This is kind of a look at like the world that Veronica lives in at the moment.
It's also like a nice soft backstory dump for anyone who's watching with someone who hasn't seen the previous seasons.
Which is bananas to me.
Well, yeah, but some people do that stuff.
Yeah, I guess.
Speaking of Brittany, Brittany was going to watch this season without ever having seen Veronica Mars.
Oh my gosh. I mean, I love Brittany and I love the energy and enthusiasm. Like,
sometimes you do catch an episode of something just because somebody else is watching it.
Yeah, I guess. I guess. But I mean, regardless of how we're supposed to feel, it definitely endeared Maddie to the Mars family, because she was able to put together the connections that we may have made between her and Veronica, just in that they've both lost someone super close to them, and they kind of bond over this in a stakeout after Maddie tells the Mars about her theory on like where the bomb came from and Perry Walsh and all of that kind of stuff. I go back and forth on watching Maddie and Veronica bond, because I'm not sure I'm ready to see Veronica as a mentor or anything like that. One, I don't think she's earned it. And two, it just doesn't feel like she has that. I don't think it'd be a good idea. However, I guess you don't have to be the best person in the world to be a mentor. Was it something that was enjoyable to watch? Like, do we want to see Veronica as a mentor? And is she at that place for anyone?
I enjoyed it in the moment, to be honest. I thought it made Veronica softer, and I really like that side of her. Mm-hmm. And you could tell from the beginning she cared about this kid and what she's going through, because she understands what she's going through. And the fact that, you know, she's so hard and cold with everybody, even Logan sometimes. And the way that she kind of softens up around Maddie just really made me happy. But since you brought up, you know, her being a mentor and stuff, like watching it, I was like, oh, this is really cool. But now that I'm thinking about it a little bit more, I agree. I don't know that she's ready for that, because Veronica, as we've already seen in only three episodes, is still very broken. And I think she still needs to work on some of her own stuff before she tries to impart life knowledge on an impressionable teenager. And I think she's capable of separating her own traumas from what Maddie's gone through and give her like solid, legit advice. But I would really hate to see Veronica take somebody who's in so much pain and teach her to be unemotional and to block people out and to hate the world and be cold and not trusting. I don't think that's the kind of guidance Maddie needs right now. But it's true that it seems like she's heading down that path. And I just hope that Veronica becomes aware enough to head her off and be like, hey, what happened to you really sucks. It was awful. But there are people who care about you, and you don't need to hate the world in order to survive in it. And I hope Veronica herself can learn that lesson soon.
I mean, to counter what you just said, we knew Veronica had people who cared about her, but I don't know if we've seen the same for Maddie.
Yeah, that's fair.
Which is interesting, yeah.
I have to say, I think being a mentor could be a good learning experience for Veronica, because she is so kind of like scattered and definitely has some broken edges and some rough edges that she's still trying to figure out how she wants them to be. I feel like her having someone who kind of looks up to her and who she can maybe impart some of her vast knowledge of, you know, being an investigator and being a PI and having, you know, someone who needs something else to focus on, being able to like to give some of those tips and tricks and help her help this other girl, you know, through this really difficult time, I think it could do a lot to help Veronica heal and to help her kind of, you know, look past her past and all of the things that have happened to her and kind of see a different future for herself. I don't know if it's the most healthy way, especially for Maddie, who is clearly needs someone, you know, to kind of latch onto. And do I think Veronica is the most healthy option for her? Probably not. But I think it could have positive consequences for if things happen, you know, the right way. Like if things go right, this could be a very positive experience for both of them, but we'll see. Only time will tell if it ends up being that.
I guess so. And we'll have to, let's keep checking in on this because I mean, I think the episode makes it pretty clear that this is not something that's going to go away anytime soon. And so I'd like to get opinions as it keeps on evolving. In addition to the stakeout, Logan's secret government clearance information, or like was able to get information on some of the bombing stuff, as well as Keith's sweet talking. And so we find out that Perry Walsh was the name of the bomber, and the Mars family passes that along to the police, and the police are like, yay, we found him, case closed. And then we find out that Perry Walsh, before he could be arrested and tried, died after his own bomb detonates while the police are trying to arrest him. There's a
the quotation marks in your voice.
Yeah. I mean, yeah. Okay.
It's obvious that like this is a cover up.
Yeah. He has a suicide note already to go. I forgot who said it, but basically like the suicide note had some pretty stereotypical, like misogynistic overtones to it, because I guess that's where we are now, that there are typical terrorist suicide notes. And so there are all of these things that happen, and yet another bomb goes off later. So we already know that there is something weird, as Karen said, going on here. I mean, obviously, this is kind of a season-long mystery. So what, if anything, can we take from this conclusion being made? Do we think it was completely wrong? Do we think it was right in places? How does it play for all of you?
There was definitely something up with this Perry dude, because Maddie was kind of onto him. She noticed that he was different than her normal guy. And like, I think there is something to the connection between Perry Walsh and Big Dick and Clyde and Chino and all of that. So I don't think that Perry was probably, I don't think he was our bomber, quote unquote, the bomber, but I do think he was probably involved. And before the bomb went off at the end, I did not think that this was the end of this. Just because they caught the guy and, you know, he had this manifesto that was like screaming misogynistic things and all that. It felt way too easy, way too previous sheriff departments for me. Like, this is totally something Lamb would have said. Like, oh yeah, we caught him. He's done. It's done. Everybody, again, congratulations. And meanwhile, Veronica and Keith are like, yeah, no, this isn't done. We know it's not done. Even when Keith tries to convince himself that it's not, you know, that it's done, you could still tell that he knew something else was going on here. So yeah, it definitely don't think Perry was necessarily, but I don't think he was entirely guilty either.
The other weird thing, I mean, I like that you made the connection between this police force and ones that we've seen previously, where it's kind of like a, yep, this is it, we're done, and whatever. And they're also like not giving any credit or anything like that. So it feels like they're still not functioning well, even though they're functioning more normally than we've seen them in the past. Does it feel like this season is trying to make any sort of commentary, even more so than usual, on how the role that police plays in a community.
I mean, this police force is definitely more competent than any of the previous sheriff's departments ever were for, what the hell city? Neptune. My God, just Neptune, left my head. They're definitely more competent. Like, they know how to police. We have seen them policing. Now, Keith and Veronica still seem to be better at it, which is kind of insane. But they're at least improving. And I think that is good. Then you watch this scene unfold, and they don't give any sort of credit to Mars Investigations, and that does seem a little shady. It does make you wonder, like, okay, if they're capable of taking credit for work they don't do, what else are they capable of? Because that's, you know, it's like baby stepping into Sheriff Lambville, and we definitely don't want that. So I don't know what this police force is capable of if they're willing to take credit for work they didn't do.
I guess we'll just have to keep watching, because I think they're very interesting to track. They always have been, but I think this season, because of how many conversations we're having in the real world about the role and the responsibility of the police force, I think it's an interesting thing to track here in a show that has been kind of calling that into question in its history. So with Perry Walsh, I guess the only other thing that I want to ask was it surprising on how quickly another bomb detonated? Or was this scene with the bomb as surprising as the first? For me, I'd watched the trailer for the season quite a few times. So when I saw Veronica sitting in the bleachers, I kind of knew something was going to happen my first time around, but I was wondering if it was a surprise to everyone else as well.
I definitely forgot. I think I only watched the trailer like once, and I was just enjoying the volleyball game. And
yes, I want to talk about that in a second.
Smashed by those ladies. It was awesome. And I was like, oh, look at Veronica laughing and being happy. And then boom, literally a bomb goes off. And I was like, oh, crap. And then I knew that was going to be the end of the episode.
Yeah.
I was more surprised by Perry Walsh blowing up than the other bombing.
That he would take himself out with a bomb, you mean?
Well, I don't think that he took himself out.
Sure.
So I just find it really interesting, and I want to know how the bomber knew that they were on to Perry.
It's a fair question.
Because it seems like a fitting conspiracy theory for the murder heads or whatever they were called.
And I mean, they don't need all that much help to have conspiracy theories of their own.
Mm.
Before we do talk about them, though, I do really quickly want to talk about that volleyball game, because I think the scenes in this episode that were my favorites were the ones where we see Dick and Logan's friendship. So I'm talking about like them in the bar, including when they were in Nicole's office, and Dick is, I mean, not being subtle about some things about Logan. I didn't end up choosing it for my favorite line, but where Dick was offering to marry Nicole right then and there, and, oh, Logan, you have a ring on you. Let's see it, or something like that. Like,
I gasped. I was like, Dick, too soon.
But at the same really time, funny. It was so funny. And that's what I thought at first, too. But I think Logan's reaction to Dick's jokes and just, like, his craziness is a testament to how close they actually are and like how much Dick means to Logan and versa. Because we see it like in the volleyball game, even like in the introductions when Dick is just kind of going off about Logan, or even when Logan is talking about how Dick texts him saying, this is Dick. Like there's so much love between those two. Maybe not in the way that Mitch used to think that there was in terms
still
of
thinks.
Still thinks. But like I was saying, like those are some of my favorite moments, and I think it really shines during the volleyball game.
I mean, family shows their love in strange ways sometimes, and I really do feel like Dick and Logan are kind of family throughout all of the craziness of their teen years and all of that. Like, they'll always kind of be there for each other. So I feel like it's almost like a family ribbing kind of thing rather than, you know, Logan doesn't take it too seriously. He knows that it's just Dick and it's fine. So it kind of did feel like almost like brotherly, like just how it just, it always cracks me up when Dick lays into Logan like that. 'Cause it's like, you know, he's doing it out of love, which is just so strange and weird and very Dick-like. So
he just has a big heart, okay? I love him so much. But the people that I don't love, to create another segue, are the murder heads. I, for one, think it's very interesting and very timely to include a sort of, like, serial-esque ad.
Yeah.
Like, aspect to this show just because of how popular that is now. And obviously it's very much like, it's very heightened, like with these people having meetings and they all seem a little off. But Karen, it sounds like you very much agree.
Yeah, I think, I don't know, Pizza Guy obviously has like a huge red flag for me. I think most of the other ones are fairly... they're just interested in this kind of stuff. And like, that's fine. The guy on the television was definitely invading Veronica's like private life and being really callous about what happened to her best friend. Mm-hmm. And I do agree that it's probably a commentary on these sort of things and like the Serial podcast and like all that kind of stuff. But I also feel like it's weirdly a commentary on like fame and how you interact with people who are in the spotlight and how people disregard them because their private life is public and how they're supposed to sort of just take it. And that has never really sat well with me. And there were a couple other things, I think, in the last episode too, where it was just weird how people talked to Veronica and how she kind of reacted to certain things, where I felt like it has a little bit to do with like celebrity status things too.
Yeah, like they take it in stride, but it does seem very much like even just without the celebrity aspect to it, with the Serial stuff, it's entertainment for a lot of people. Like, it is entertaining for people to come up with conspiracy theories and to try to like puzzle out these sorts of things to the point where like these people have a club for it. But Veronica and Logan serve as a very real reminder that these are very real murders and very real mysteries that are happening with real people. But the murderinos kind of serve as a reminder also that like we view it as entertainment and not at all in the same way, and how inappropriate that can be. And it's interesting because Pizza Guy is probably the most stereotypical one of the group, let's say. Like, he seems the most like the introverted person with not a lot of friends, whereas all of the other people there have proper jobs. And they're not your sort of like stereotypical basement dwellers that you might think of for some kind of people. But it was interesting to see them attend this meeting as celebrity guests and to see the different ways that people can get clues, or what they think are clues, from like the most random places. Do we think that Logan and Veronica kind of knew what they were going to walk into there? I mean, obviously Veronica has been faced with this kind of thing before, but do you think that they thought there might be more helpful thoughts there, more helpful theories and stuff?
I think Veronica is always skeptical. I feel like she lives in this, you know, world of just think the worst and maybe it'll surprise you. And so I do think that while she agreed to go because of the possibility of physical evidence that she had been promised,
mm-hmm.
Like, I don't think she thought that these guys were going to shake out to that much. Like, she thought maybe I'll get a lead out of this, or maybe I'll get a little tidbit of info that might help me. But honestly, I don't think she went for much more than to see this physical evidence that he had said he had.
Yeah, I agree with that. I don't think they expected the level of creepiness, maybe.
Definitely not all the reminders of Lily and everything that went down there.
Yeah, they're so callous. And especially talking about their relationship and stuff, like, who else could they be with? They've both been traumatized and broken by this. And it's like, I guess it feels a little bit like they're talking about fan culture and fandom too, where these types of characters do honestly tend to be together for those exact reasons. And like, Logan and Veronica have been talked about a lot and extensively because their relationship was so volatile, like, at first, and then obviously became more romantic and all of that kind of stuff, and has led to this more mature relationship. And I don't know, maybe I'm looking too much into it, but I feel like all of these people are sort of different aspects of the same conversation, where we're talking about two people or two characters and how other people view them, think about them, sometimes to their face, and how that's kind of not okay.
Yeah, no, definitely not. I mean, it sounds very much like the conversations we've had about Veronica and Logan previously, like you were saying. Like, it sounds a lot like us. But I would hope that the difference would be that if they were actual people, maybe we wouldn't have those conversations.
And
if
we did, mind our own business.
Sometimes we keep those inside thoughts inside.
Sometimes. So I'm going to keep asking this, but are the murder heads and that whole dynamic something that you are interested in seeing more of after seeing it here? Do you think it adds to the show in a quality way?
I think it's another obstacle for Veronica. And I think it also shows you the difference between what she does versus what they do. And I do think that aspect is important. They are annoying, but I think they do serve a purpose.
Well, and while I did not like them very much, I found the scene pretty entertaining. So, like, honestly, I would be okay with them showing up again just for some comedic relief sometimes, because some of the things they were spouting off about were completely ludicrous, as you would kind of expect. But also, we talked about it kind of being like almost hero worship a little bit for them, like seeing these two celebrity guests come in and all that. And like, the one girl seemed to know that Veronica used to work at the library and kind of hinted that like she's working at the library because Veronica was. Like, because Veronica did, like, it almost seems like that. So maybe there is something more to these guys than just like being annoying, crazy weirdos. Like, honestly, people that are this interested in murders and unsolved murders and, you know, all cold cases and all of that stuff, maybe there's something more here that Veronica is going to be able to discover about these people. Like, not necessarily saying that they're all a bunch of crazy psychos who could go nuts at the drop of a hat, but I'm saying there's definitely something unhinged about some of them, and I think Veronica will definitely keep them in mind for future problems, like possible suspect pool.
And hopefully, as will we. Like, hopefully it'll feel like they're included, and it's not a painful inclusion, and that they add something for us as well as Veronica. I guess the last kind of aspect of the mystery that was brought up in this episode is the connection between Perry Walsh, Big Dick, Clyde, and kind of tentatively the crisp $100 bills, in it all being stemming from Chino and people who have served time in Chino. Do you think that there is some sort of conspiracy there? Do you have any theories as to what that conspiracy would be and kind of who is pulling the strings? Or do you think it's just a coincidence and like Chino is a relatively big prison?
Nah, something's going on.
Okay.
I want to believe.
Yeah, I mean, it's hard not to think that there's some sort of conspiracy, and Big Dick's friend there terrifies me. I'm really afraid of him because I feel like he is that kind of person who on the surface makes you feel comfortable, who presents as someone who's trying to do better, who, you know, admits their faults and is upfront about the things that they've done and tells you that they're trying to move past that and be better and is like really charismatic. But there's something else going on there because he could walk into that room with a couple of big scary dudes and command them around. So like this guy is somebody and he's definitely got Big Dick under his thumb. And I want to know who he is, what his plan is, and why everybody seems to take orders from him. Because he comes off as somebody who is very subordinate, especially to Big Dick. Like, he's got him doing his chores and annoying little things, but this guy is the guy who's running the show, guaranteed.
Well, and he can turn around and get Keith, like, a really expensive doctor's appointment, no problem.
Yeah.
Which, very nice, but also, like, very expensive.
I was like, don't do it. Please. This just means you're going to owe him something. I'm really scared now.
I'm going to apologize in advance, but I'm going to say it. Big Dick energy.
No! My!
That thought came through my head as well.
Yes, I.
They named them Dick.
And they keep calling him Big Dick.
Yeah.
As opposed to Little Dick. I mean, yeah, as Karen just basically said, Clyde had the power in Chino to order those dudes to stop, and they did. So either he's got more powerful friends behind him that everyone's afraid of, or there's definitely something we're missing about Clyde.
I mean, not only stop them, but didn't he arrange the whole thing?
Yeah.
In the first place?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. But like, if he's capable of all of that, then there's definitely something we're missing here.
Yeah.
Did you see my box of ramen? That dude's powerful. That's what he paid him off with.
Oh yeah.
Okay. Oh yeah.
I don't know a lot about prison currency, Karen.
Me neither, but
cigarettes and ramen. It's about all I know. And that's from pop culture. So yeah.
So if Clyde is kind of the common element in a lot of these things for you, what do you think his plan is? Like, do you think he wants to kill Spring Break? What do you think might be going on here? Or just haven't gotten that far yet?
I don't know. But I really want to find out.
Well, yeah, I feel like killing Spring Break is like the obvious thing, but I don't know his motivation yet. And I don't want them to find that lady. Let's put that out there. I should hide.
Yeah. The girlfriend?
Yeah.
Clyde's girlfriend?
Bonnie.
Yeah, she should stay undiscovered. No.
Her name's not Bonnie, I'm sorry.
Oh, I thought you said Tawny. Yes, Bonnie. I get Bonnie. It now. Okay. Nice. Like, oh, I don't remember her having a name. Okay, yep.
Yeah.
Yep. Okay. Well, something to watch. So many things to watch while we're watching this. So I would be remiss before we wrap up talking about this episode. I would be remiss not to mention the fact that we finally get the return of Weevil in this episode. It only took like 2.5 episodes to see his beautiful face pop
fucking
up.
Fucking forever.
Fucking forever. Exactly. And he's having a barbecue at his house. And we find out that his sister's new boyfriend is the philosophical cartel guy. She's the one who was kind of like the maid at the hotel that was flirting with him previously. And Weevil finds out or realizes almost right away who this guy is. I mean, I guess I really don't have to ask this, but I'm assuming everyone is very excited to be seeing Weevil again.
Yes. And
yes.
Most definitely. Hey. Two would be, what did you make of his reaction to the cartel guy?
I liked it. Okay. I feel like it was very matter of fact. He was subtle with it. He didn't make any threats, but he was also like, well, he did make a threat, but it wasn't like, stay away from my sister. It was like, just don't break her heart. Like, going to have to hurt you if you do. And I like that he wasn't necessarily afraid of him, although I don't know if that's a good thing or a bad thing at this point. That could be really stupid on Weevil's part, but also Weevil's a badass, so.
This is true.
Also, when the PCHer mugged Veronica at the beginning of this episode, it immediately reminded me of Weevil. And it was like, oh, like, PCH, like, oh, Weevil. And then, you know, to get him halfway through this episode, like, there he is. It's like, hey, look at that. Like, I was just thinking about him, and he appears. So apparently I've got the power. But no, I did like that he was able to put all the pieces together right away, and he knows exactly who Cartel Guy is. Like, he's, you know, he's not playing around. He knows this guy could be big trouble, too. Like, I think he's well aware, not necessarily afraid of him, but is well aware of what having this guy in Neptune means, and I'm sure that will come into play eventually.
Well, and he's also, I don't think it's really a spoiler to say, he's also very much sort of working his own angle or something. Like, there's something going on with Weevil as well, because we see that same PCHer who Veronica mugged at that barbecue.
Yeah.
And
who's also shitting in the ice.
And who's also shitting in the ice, yes. That one.
All connected.
Thank goodness it's just one and not like multiple. That'd be weird. So there's definitely something going on there as well. I don't know.
Is it weird that like a part of me kind of hopes that the PCHer is just shitting in the ice of his own mind and it's not like part of a plan? Because that'd be really random.
It would be, but those $100 bills aren't very random, though.
Nah. Also, I mean, Hector is there.
Okay. Yes! Oh, yes, let's call it Hector. Hector has been Weevil's right-hand man forever.
Ever.
Since the pilot episode. And he's back.
I was so happy to see him.
It's the little things.
It really is.
Like, they're paying a lot of attention.
Had a little mention of Mac earlier.
Yeah.
I immediately thought of you.
Yeah.
My girl.
Was that enough for you?
No.
Okay.
No.
I mean, I figured not. But, okay, let me rephrase. Is it better to have at least mentioned her than not say where she is at all?
Oh, yeah.
At least there's an explanation as to why Mac isn't here if she can't be here.
Yeah, she's all being awesome. All right. Well, there was a lot that happened in this episode, and it feels to me a little bit like we were jumping all over the place just because of how many different threads there are to follow and how they all connect. Was there anything else that happened in this episode that we want to flag or discuss?
The fact that the cartel dudes are speaking English in private.
Yeah. They're blending in.
Ooh, blending into the walls. That it doesn't make sense.
Unless they think they're being overheard by their neighbors. Yeah, I agree.
But if they were, then maybe like stop talking about murdering people in English.
Well, yeah, that's fair. That's a great point. I stand corrected. There's no good reason. All right. Well, then that wraps up our discussion here. But before we get into favorite scenes and favorite lines, Mai, would you like to run down your famous faces and where to find them? I added the first one, but I'm assuming you did the rest of them.
I added the last one.
I did some of them. So I didn't know that Maddie was on iZombie.
Yeah, so she was a girl that they eventually tried to extract a sort of cure from for zombieism, and she was like a girl who was dying. The fourth season, maybe. And that's where I first saw her. And that makes sense because Rob Thomas likes to use a lot of the same actors in almost everything that he does.
Yeah, he's a bit of a Joss Whedon like that.
Yes, he is. Very much so.
But I added Lucas Gage, the Pizza Man fan. He plays Tyler on Euphoria.
Who's also a douche.
Yeah.
Yes, he plays it well.
Okay.
And then there's Alex Solowitz, who is the hillbilly brother. And that's Mikey from Together. And I knew his face from somewhere.
You know, as soon as I opened the doc and saw that, like his face just kind of bloomed in my mind. Like, oh my God, I knew that. Like,
yeah,
it's kind of insane because I forget about Together a lot and it just kind of cracked me up. I was like, oh my God, it's totally him. That's so weird.
And then Maddie's stepmom is Lauren Stamil, I think. And she was Nurse Rose on Grey's Anatomy and she was into Derek in like season 5 or something.
The one time Derek had a love interest other than Meredith. I also added at the bottom that the guy on the TV at the Murderheads meeting is totally Clark Duke, who plays Dale Kettlewell on Greek, one of the most insane television characters I've ever had the pleasure of watching.
Never seen Greek.
I haven't either.
He's hilarious. Like where he starts in the series to where he ends in the series, he has the most incredible character growth. It's not even funny. He's a delight. But he's also been in other things like since then. I think he definitely was in Hot Tub Time Machine, and he's been in a bunch of other things. But he looks a little different and on the screen in this episode, so it took me a minute. But when he started like ranting, his voice gave him away.
Yeah, I think he has one of those faces where he's like just one of those character actors for me that I feel like I've seen in multiple places.
Yeah.
But I will have to watch Greek at some point, I promise.
It's so good.
I promise. All right, let's quickly run down our favorite scenes and favorite lines. My favorite scenes we already talked about, but it was basically the squad's night out and the volleyball game before the bomb. Mai, what was your favorite scene?
When Logan shows Keith the photo of the dude doing a poop, because it kind of makes it feel like they actually have a relationship of some sort.
Yeah, they have some sort of rapport, it feels like. Yeah. I like that. That's a good point. Karen, your favorite scene, please.
Well, I just need to shout out to Dick's glitter abs because that was brilliant. but I really loved how nonchalant Veronica was about getting mugged and how both Keith and Logan were like, what? Why didn't you tell us? And she was like, it's crazy. It's not a big deal. I don't care of it.
I have a taser.
Yeah.
Oh, goodness.
You.
Kristen, your favorite scene?
The Murderheads meeting, not because they're great people, but because I feel like it was kind of somewhat informational, and I liked seeing Veronica kind of surrounded by all of these crazies, and like just the look on her face for half of it was enough.
I feel like she honestly didn't know what to do with them, and that is saying something. Veronica knows what to do. Yeah.
More or less, she was just like, I don't know how to handle this. Like, what the hell is going on? Yeah.
And like categorize him, handle them. Yeah. And actually moving into favorite lines, my favorite line was from the Murderhead sequence. And it was also from that Greek actor from Don. And my favorite line from him is, the blow to Lily Kane's head came at an equal level, which means that it was done by someone the same size or smaller. I don't know my eye line. Can the Mars girl tell that I'm looking at her? It made me laugh. Mai, your favorite line?
During the mugging, Veronica says, some guys like small talk. Aww. Made me laugh.
Made you laugh.
Yeah.
And Karen, your favorite line, which I cannot place.
Mine made me laugh too, because it's when Maddie comes in talking about the person who's been shitting in their ice buckets. And she says something, and then Keith just goes, probably a solid assumption. And there's, like, a beat, and then Veronica just slowly turns to look at him. I was laughing so hard.
Now I remember that one.
I love Keith.
And Kristen, take us home with what is probably, in my opinion, the best exchange of the episode.
Right. There's more to this exchange, and I thought about including all of it, but I was like, no, I'm just going to use these two lines. It's when Veronica is holding Logan's cell phone, and she's reading the messages that Dick has sent him, and she says, why does Dick need pants? And Logan says, why does he need to tell me this is Dick? I assume any text that starts with bring me pants is from Dick. Which is so accurate and wonderful. You just can't help it.
I love it so much.
I was thinking the other day, when I was on a run, I was wearing my Team Mars shirt that I got from Cafe Press, like around the time the movie was coming out. And they were doing like the Team Mars, Team Dick, Team Logan kind of shirts. and I still regret not getting a Team Dick shirt.
That could incite some questions.
I know.
Run, though.
That's the reason why I didn't get it, but I'm still thinking about it 6 years later.
Still thinking about Dick.
Still thinking about Dick.
Definitely Logan loves Dick.
Yeah. And hey, if all of you out there, if you're thinking about Dick, if you love Dick, or if you just have other thoughts that don't pertain to Dick, that have to do with this episode of Veronica Mars, we want you to get in contact with us. You can do so by emailing us at rewatchable.podcast@gmail.com. You can tweet at us at re_watchable. You can find us on Tumblr. We're at rewatchablepodcast.tumblr.com. Or you can also leave us an iTunes review, either with thoughts from this episode, previous episodes, anything you want to say. We would love it if they are positive. That would make us happy. But any constructive criticism is welcome. However, by rating us positively and with 5 stars, you make it so that other people have a better chance of finding us. So we'd love you more if you did that. And as always, we have incentives for rating us 5 stars. So this week, if you rate us 5 stars on iTunes, then Karen will bring you pants if needed. Karen, can you deliver?
I can deliver. I, from personal experience, have woken up after a night of drinking with no pants. In a good way. That was not supposed
more
to
information
sound
than
terrible. That was not supposed to sound terrible.
We're all learning a lot about that
sometimes, okay? Yes, I can deliver you pants. Oh, don't make it weird.
Oh, well, that took a turn. If you would like to talk about that turn in our Facebook group and learn more about Karen's nightless pantsless nights out, you can do so in our Facebook group. Again, that is Rewatchables Rewinders. Come find us, come chat. And speaking of chatting, we have just a few pieces of listener feedback this week. Mai, would you like to get this first tweet here?
Sure. At Bleentastic says, every Mexican with a bunch of lines is a gang member or cartel. Every black person was in sports, except dude's uncle, the agent. Every Asian was math/tech whiz. Show always kind of diverse, but full of stereotypes.
Yeah, I completely agree. And it's kind of what I was talking about earlier. Like, they've expanded now to white stereotypes, which I guess is good, but still very stereotypical. Give us some layers.
Yeah.
Yeah. Not great. I actually want to take this tweet because it really messed me up when I first read it. So this tweet is from Mariah, not Carrie, at Mariah Lovegood. And she says, dudes, y'all thought an 09er was Keith's therapist. I missed it the first time too, but on rewatch, I noticed my caption said corny. I am glad to know I'm not the only one that missed it at first. Dudes. I am very upset about this.
This is ringing bells, but it's not connecting.
As to who Corny is?
Yes.
Okay. Corny is this adorable stoner that has been on the show or like in the universe since the pilot episode. In the pilot episode, Corny built a bong that triggered like smoke so that like Veronica could get a videotape from the police lockup.
Oh my God.
We see him in the movie, in the reunion. He goes up to Veronica. He's super cute. They're catching up and he's talking about how he has a duct tape wallet business. And he's just super excitable. And he is not someone who would be on his phone all the time and be rude to Keith because he would know who Keith was and he loves Veronica. So he would love Keith. He would not be a physical therapist because he is like an ideas man and very good with like his hands and building things like the bomb, smoke bomb. That was a really hard thing to say. And like duct tape wallets. He would not be the rude physical therapist 09er person with the sunglasses chatting on his phone the whole time Keith was doing physical therapy. And yet he was, and I am very upset about this.
You sound very upset about this.
I am more upset about this. He is my favorite, like, very, very small Veronica Mars character.
Corny is awesome. Corny would never.
I mean, I believe you, and I think we looked at it, and he is on the cast list as this person for this season. Yeah. I am not disappointed in Hulu. I am not at all disappointed in Mariah, not Carrie. Thank you for bringing it to my attention. or our attention. I am disappointed in Rob Thomas. Ouch. And in the guy who plays Corny.
Because
it should not have been a thing.
Justice for Corny.
Justice for Corny.
Maybe he went to the Chino as well and like came out changed.
Yeah, God, I hope not. What, like he ripped people off with his duct tape wallet business?
Maybe.
Either that or everyone in Chino would love him and he just befriended everyone.
Yeah.
Probably that.
Became an influencer in jail.
Exactly. Oh, goodness. Okay. That's enough of my thoughts on Corny. Kristen, did you want to get this last tweet for us, please?
Sure. Yeah, the last one comes from Pirate Angel at Adana Girl. Yeah, guessing. And says, has anyone done a breakdown of the Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. Season 7 trailer? Looks like they go to time periods other than New York City in the 30s. Perhaps one of those other time periods gives us an older Sousa.
I grabbed this one. It was kind of a tweet to us and a few other places, but I grabbed this one because we were discussing the possibility of Peggy on the last season of Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. And then the trailer came out and it was very much 1930s, like pre-war. And so I was just curious if anyone had given any more thought to Agent Carter being on Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. Or if it's looking like it just might be Sousa.
I have not watched the trailer, so I do not know anything about this. But I'm always on board for older Sousa. I was just like, Sousa.
I think I honestly would be happy seeing just Sousa, which sounds really weird coming from me, but I think I would prefer it over getting like...
I totally get it. Like, I know exactly why you're saying that.
A lackluster Peg. Like, that's how I feel about the What If show. The Disney Plus, like, What If, like, it feels like they're just using Peggy as a gimmick. And, like, I don't want her to be a gimmick. So I'd be fine with just Sousa.
I think I agree. I like him enough. Maybe throw in some Jack Thompson, too. Call it a day.
I would take Jack. And Rose. Maybe some Rose.
Oh, yeah, Rose. I love Rose. Yeah, absolutely. Sousa and Rose. Getting shit done. I could
edit. Disney, hire us. We have all the best ideas. We know what such good ideas.
Bring me Jarvis.
I'd be okay with that. All right. Well, before we wrap up for today, I do want to get everyone's theories about what's coming next, because as I found out right before we started this episode, I am the only one who has seen this season all the way through on this panel today. So it is now time for Kristen's contemplations, Karen's conclusions, and Mai's meditations for season 4, episode 4, Heads You Lose.
Somebody's gonna lose their head.
Okay.
Oh, the cartel, they chop off heads.
They do chop off heads. I hope it's nobody's head that we like.
See, I initially did not go to the heads chopping. I went to Heads You Win, Tails You Lose. It's typically like people usually call heads. And so if heads means you lose, then... I was thinking something with a coin flip or someone making a like an unorthodox decision.
This is because we just saw Ready or Not. And
yeah, it is kind of. And they use the coin flip to make decisions. And so, it's kind of in my head. So, yeah, that was where my brain went. But the chopping of heads thing, definitely, it's appropriate because, the cartel.
Okay. Well, then we will leave it there and we will see what happens in the next episode and talk about it next time. But until then, I am Danielle.
I'm Mai.
I'm Karen.
And I'm Kristen.
Talk to you later, marshmallows.
Bye.
Bye.